Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to Happy Foot, Sad Foot, your LAFC gateway drug and the only LAFC podcast that has scored the exact same amount of times as Denny Bawanga this season. I'm Travis Helwig.
I'm Vince LaRosa.
And I'm Darren Miller. Welcome to our preview of LAFC's MLS match against Nashville SC on Saturday, March 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at BMO Stadium. You can watch it on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV+. And of course, we'll be live streaming our post-game call-in show 10 minutes after the final whistle. At youtube.com/@happyfootsadfoot.
Later in the show, Casey Holton at Casey on the Case on TikTok is here to break down the biggest stories of the NWSL season. And of course, we'll have our storylines and our bets for the week. But first, we got to stretch, warm up, and complain about how hungover we are and how much our shin guards smell. It's time for listener mandated banter. Darren, when you played soccer as a young man, were you often hungover? That's not an experience I have.
Yeah, it was more of an experience that applies to older people, 21 and up, one might say, or, you know, whenever people started drinking, which for some people is younger.
I feel like now when I know I'm going to be drinking, I clear my calendar for 36 hours afterwards. I'm just like, I need some time.
We used to play...
Oh, I can drink tonight because I don't have anything to do tomorrow till 4.
When I was in like my mid 20s, we would play like in a small sided Sunday league, and it was like the, let's say like the spring season. So like there's chances that it could get rained out. And I remember we would be like you could, there was no like, we're not going to drink at all on Saturday night, but you would start a little bit and then you'd like look and you're like, oh, it's raining outside. And you're like, fuck it. You just go hard. But then some days like it would get canceled and you'd be like, great decision. See, I didn't miss out on my Saturday night. And other days they'd be like, guys, so the fields look pretty good. We're going to go ahead and give it a go. And you're like, no.
Guess I'm puking.
That's really funny.
Guess I'm puking.
Puking in the rain while playing soccer is beautiful.
We had guys on our team that like at halftime were like lighting heaters. They're like, the games weren't 90 minute games. I think they were 25 minute halves. So these guys could not go an hour without smoking a cigarette, which bless them.
Oh boy.
I want to smoke. I feel like smoking's cool. We don't talk enough about how cool smoking is.
You know what I think they should do? I think they should go back in the classic movies and add cigarettes.
No, they should add vape.
Yeah. Like, dude, the way that people vape, like covering the vape like this is so much less cool. Like, I agree. Obviously, smoking kills people and you shouldn't do it if you have an option. But the
but for those of us being tortured.
But like the way that we tried to tell kids that it doesn't look cool, we're just lying. It looks really cool, especially in like photos. In video, it looks less cool. But in photos, it looks fucking rad as hell.
Yeah, it was not the right angle.
Yeah.
Dare was not
that first puff in a movie. They always seem like it just like it settles their whole world. Like it's just that exhale and you're just like, oh, they're good now.
And my experience with cigarettes is the polar opposite. I do that and I'm like, don't let anyone know how dizzy you are. Don't tell anyone.
I actually never even tried a cigarette.
Is that true?
I've had a cigar. Yeah.
Never.
I've had a cigar. But I've never
Darren, you've never had a cigarette?
Yeah.
Okay, you're gonna smoke.
Well, guess
on
what?
Camera.
Next game. Next game.
we don't have an option. You're going to smoke on the podcast.
I don't.
Find Darren at the Pepsi Plaza having a Marlboro Red.
If you see Darren and he doesn't have a cigarette in his mouth, you can punch him. That's a new rule for the listeners out there.
Oh man, I hate how anytime someone says a rule, it has to be true. That's what I hate the
Obviously,
most about this
smoking's
show.
Smoking's bad, kids. Don't do it.
Do we have to put some kind of different rating on this podcast?
This is explicit
now that
in two ways
smoking
now.
For this much?
Yeah, it is funny. I have no qualms about the amount of times that I've talked about like graphic sex things, but saying smoking is cool, I am like, my nephew might listen to that.
Yeah,
all right. That's our show. Let's wrap it up.
That's enough banter and show.
Yeah, I think we're good. Start the show, Darren. Let's get into it.
All right. Well, as a casual LAFC fan, we're 4 games into the 2024 season, and I'm wondering if I'm wasting my fucking time. Normally, my friend Travis, the human LAFC crazy wall, can explain to me why, of course, I'm not wasting my time because of everything he's piecing together behind the scenes about some mid-season roster moves or tactics change or whatever Carlos Vela's latest vacation picks really mean. But lately, he's simultaneously 100% certain this is a waste of time and also still spending 100% of his suspiciously abundant free time poring over LAFC game tape, stats, pressers, rumors, and tweets. So which is it? I can't keep wasting my time figuring out whether I'm wasting my time. I have a very stressful and physically demanding job in digital media and a wife and children and a dog to not look fucking pathetic in front of because I'm trying to teach these kids how soccer works by showing them a team who can't score a fucking goal. Luckily, just like every week, Travis is here to explain to me and all of you, except for Vince, because he's also here and he already knows more than both of us and all of you combined, what the fuck is going on and why he did or did not ruin my life by making me care so much about this team. And if you're lucky, he'll ruin your life too in a segment we call Storylines.
Darren, how dare you keep that beauty from us for the first month of the season? The amount back we are because of that intro is so. We are so back.
I waited until it was really needed.
Ooh, it felt good.
The
Darren,
post game was just contagious. You,
yeah, I know. At least I'm
definitely got some of what Travis had.
Yeah,
I teach him
problem.
Everything. Aaron, Vince, Dince, we are over a month into the 2024 MLS season, and boy is my bottle of Xanax tired. Over 4 games, LAFC has 1 win, 1 tie, and 2 losses. And that brings us to the first storyline of the match, which is this. Just what level of panicked should we be? Following the game on Saturday, as Vince alluded to, the entire fan base exploded with anger. Kike is to blame. Omar Campos is to blame. Dolo is to blame. Thorington is to blame. Vince La Rosa's optimism is to blame. And that panic that the fans had is something that I also felt deep in my core as well. This doesn't feel like the LAFC team I know. This doesn't feel like the confident, competent, competitive team that we follow year in and year out. But sometimes, upon reflection, that sports panic we feel can feel like hyperbole. However, in this case, that's not the case. Our current start is easily our worst opening month in club history. The following list was put together by @SirBensington on Twitter. Over our first 4 games, here's our record throughout the years. In 2018, we started with 2 wins and 2 losses, 9 goals. In 2019, we had 3 wins, 1 tie, and 10 goals. In 2020, we had 2 wins, 2 ties, and 13 goals. In both 2022 and 2023, we had 3 wins, 1 tie, and 9 goals. And in the only other bad start we had, the 1 year we didn't make the playoffs, 2021, we had 1 win, two ties and one loss and only five goals. This year is even worse than 2021. We have one win, one tie, two losses, and only two goals in the entire opening month of the season. That, by any metric, is terrible. Bowanga's four-game goal-scoring drought is equal to the longest of last season, and the entire team hasn't scored in over 300 minutes. The team hasn't scored in so long, they're about to start watching Andrew Tate videos. It's possible of this is because of Carlos Vela's passing. We're going to get shot by weird,
Andrew Tate Romanians.
Fans. Yeah. How dare you? I have sex all the time. The reason I have sex is that Andrew Tate tells me to. It's possible some of this is because we're missing Carlos Vela's distribution being gone from our roster. As Vince pointed out in his incredible takeaway newsletter, which we don't talk about enough, Bogus fully misplayed two passes that last season Vela would have played into transition goals for both of our forwards. That false nine role might not be the right place for Matty Bogusch, and I say that as someone who has his name on the back of my jersey. But with Colorado at altitude next week and El Tráfico coming up the following week, this game against Nashville on Saturday really feels like a must-win game for LAFC. Vince, in your newsletter this week, you said the following, quote, two things can be true. One, this team lacks depth. And two, this starting 11 is good enough to win games. We haven't been winning those games, but how do you think this roster, as currently constructed, can start to turn things around?
I still believe that from even, honestly, with the subs that came into the game, when you think about Eddie Segura, David Martinez, and Sergi Palencia. Now, I'm not going to go too far down the line because, like I said, it is true the roster's thin. But now we're talking about slots 1 through 14. Pretty good. Like, we're going to take on Nashville. Nashville is a difficult team to beat. But if you didn't know the records and I just named off the starting 11 or 1 through 14, like their next three subs, you'd be like, yeah, LAFC's got a pretty good team. So it really just seems like, and honestly, I rewatched the game, which is probably more than 99% of the people listening to this did. And I don't recommend rewatching the game. But I will say this.
Do you hate yourself?
Yeah. No, I love you guys so much that I had to do it to extrapolate some stuff to actually talk about in the newsletter. But while doing it, I've got to be fully honest with you, and people are probably going to throw shit at me, but through 80 minutes, like, Minnesota had a goal. That's it. LAFC was the only one creating chances, albeit they weren't a lot of chances. But I wrote in my notes, there was like four actual LAFC chances. Minnesota had a goal. Like, they did not create any other chances. They really were just trying to hold LAFC at bay. And that makes me think of a team that just is missing in the final third, which goes back to the no goals. In the end, it's going to be a chemistry thing, a continuity type thing. So, I do think that this lineup is good enough. But the answer that no one wants to hear is there's no quick fix to it. Like, it's just going to take them on the training ground and getting familiar with each other and understanding the way each other plays.
Darren, from your perspective, do you think that this is a must-win game on Saturday?
Honestly, no.
How dare you not give us a fucking soundbite, you piece of shit.
For all of our sanity, yes, it is a must-win game. And
there you go.
It's a slippery slope. Like, how far do they want to fall into the quicksand? I don't know.
Confidence can slip in a team if they lose too many in a row early on.
We're starting with zero. So, yeah, you got to turn it around at some point. And every game that you lose probably pushes back the amount of games it will take to turn that around more than one, right? Like, they're only making it, like, exponentially harder the more you keep losing. Also, I'm going to jump off a bridge if they keep doing it. So
we're kidding.
I don't know. I'll wear a bungee cord or a harness or something and maybe a life jacket. I won't be like such a, I won't be a dramatic about it, but I'll be upset.
It's fun. Yeah. It's actually, I'll pay someone, I'll sign a waiver and there'll be a rope attached to me.
It'll be like the adventure of a lifetime. Really?
I'll go to Costa Rica. I'll yell Pura Vida and I'll jump off.
The point is, it's a decision I wouldn't have otherwise made, okay? I'm scared to do it.
Kyle.
Well, while
you're gonna make me face my fear, LAFC.
And like LAFC, you'll bounce back. While I was writing these storylines on Tuesday morning, all of our doom and gloom was interrupted by one rock-hard set of abs, which brings us to our second storyline of the week.
You're welcome.
Which is this.
Oh, not me?
No, yeah, well, Vince also sent me a nice photo, but I won't share that with the group. Well, actually, if you're a paid Patreon subscriber, I will send you a Vince nude.
Well, screw feet. Let's go straight to the good stuff.
Yeah, feet is $5 a month, but if you want to see Vince full frontal, that's 10.
Vince, if you're around after we record this, Vince, if you want to just like talk, there's another thing that we wanted to talk about. It's no big deal.
We're soft launching it, but
got it. Nothing soft about it, baby.
That brings. He's on Hafo Sappho. couldn't do that next to Max Bretos. Which brings us to our second storyline in the match, which is this. Is Giroud our most kissable savior? Tom Bogert, the Woj of MLS, dropped an article with some other loser from the UK all about LAFC seriously pursuing Olivier Giroud. Tom Bogert, of course, in France is known as Homme Bogert. Here's what Monsieur Bogert's article said. LAFC is in advanced talks with Olivier Giroud, France's all-time leading scorer, about a potential summer deal when his contract with AC Milan expires. Sources briefed on the talks tell at The Athletic. No agreement is imminent as Giroud considers his options ahead of the summer. Giroud could stay at Milan, go elsewhere in Europe, or head to the Middle East if he doesn't reach an agreement with LAFC. But LAFC has his MLS discovery rights, meaning they have priority to sign him ahead of any MLS club. For those of you who don't know what that means essentially we have dibs. No other MLS team can get him without paying us first. Giroud, 37, is in the midst of another excellent season with AC Milan. He has 12 goals and 8 assists in 26 Serie A appearances. Milan sits second in Serie A and faces Roma in the quarterfinals of the Europa League. First, I just want to say, I don't think our listeners are prepared for how horny this podcast is going to get if we sign Giroud. And second, for a team who is as desperate for goals as we are right now, having a proven goal scorer to not only create chances, but pull defenders off Bowanga might be just what we need. Last weekend after our loss to Minnesota, I said, quote, I don't think this could be solved with our current roster. I don't think this could be solved by bringing in one guy from France this summer. So my first question is this. Could this be solved by bringing one guy in from France this summer? What do you guys think?
Well, we started this show with Vince explaining how the path to solving it without the guy from France isn't that long. It's just a question of whether they can pull off the right training and get there. So, you know... Yes.
Vince, just how good could he be for our team? I know he's 37. That'll worry people.
Sure, but he has 12 goals in Serie A right now, and he's not a player that's ever relied on the type of things that go away when you get older. He's not a pacey guy. He's still, as you know, Travis, very physically fit.
Mm-hmm.
He is able to deal with the physicality of MLS. I mean, he would make probably every single MLS team immediately better. And that includes even Suarez and Messi. I mean, the guy just scores goals. And to your point about like giving Bowanga some help, he has a little bit of history playing with, you know, goal scoring wingers, Kylian Mbappe. This year he's playing with Christian Pulisic, Kylian Mbappe. He's a very good French player, but the guy, I mean, he's going to obviously occupy multiple players in the opposing defense, which is just going to, like, for somebody like Danny Bwanga, who we watch against Minnesota, DJ Taylor literally just stand next to him because he's like, look, I don't care about Bogush. I don't care about Oliveira. I can just stand near you. If Olivier Giroud's out there, it's a very different story.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, he just scores goals. I think when you look at him, you say, don't worry so much about the false nine stuff. I mean, we'll play a little link up play with you because you're strong and you can hold off defenders and then pass it back to somebody and then we can get it forward. But really, they're going to tell him, get into the box, do what you do best, score goals, and open up avenues for Bwanga. And that makes the team immediately better.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's mild rumblings about his age, but it's like, this guy is going to be like an Ibrahimovic signing. It's not a Gerrard signing. Like, he still has it, obviously. And there's also people saying, let's sign him on TAM. You're fucking crazy. The guy's a DP if he's coming over. If we sign him on TAM, I would lose my mind. I think he's he's taken the DP slot. And if we get another DP slot this summer, that would be great as well. But we'll have to wait a bit before we get an answer on his beautiful, beautiful body. But in the meantime, our final storyline of the week is this. And this is a hard pivot. Is Nashville the real deal? Over its first few years in the league, Nashville has tricked us before. They've seemed like they could be a contender for years, only to always fall apart in the playoffs. And this year, they are starting off strong. Again, they are undefeated in their first four games with one win and three draws. They beat Charlotte last week in a great game. They've tied the Red Bulls, Colorado, and the LA Galaxy. All three teams are better than they were last year, and this team tied all three. Nashville has also shown themselves to have some serious grit, recently building a kind of natural rivalry with Inter Miami, and Messi as one of the few teams who have been really able to get under his skin. I'm not saying that they beat Miami, but you could tell that they really pissed him off somewhat. On top of that, Nashville has finally seen Hani Mukhtar and Sam Surridge start side by side, which could be huge for the club. The German Mukhtar is, of course, the 2022 MVP and Golden Boot winner, and Sam Surridge is the 25-year-old Englishman, a DP who's already played for Nottingham, Stoke, Swansea, and Bournemouth, all names of teams I have zero knowledge of because every village in the UK sounds the fucking same. Vince, how does Nashville play, and how do we stack up against them?
Nashville's come into the league and has always played a somewhat like simple style. They're very direct. They like to get bodies behind the ball. I think the biggest stat you need to know with Nashville is they're dead last in passes per defensive action. What that means is they allow teams to pass more times before they make a defensive action. And so what that tells you is they're not pressing. And because they're not getting goals scored on them, they're clearly doing something right. So what are they doing? They're probably getting bodies behind the ball. And so they're basically going to be a team that's going to have 9-10 guys behind the ball, and they're going to make you beat them. They're not going to allow you to get out in transition. They're not going to beat themselves. And so for an LAFC team that's struggling to score goals, this is a big test at home.
Darren, last time we played a team that wears yellow and black, you contracted the novel coronavirus COVID-19. Will you have any PTSD during this game?
Yes. I think that will be very difficult for me. I don't like seeing yellow. I already get Nashville and Columbus confused.
Their colors are identical, not the cities. Right? They're the same.
Yeah, anytime
They're blue and they're navy blue.
Oh,
and
yellow. You're right. But it's a dark blue.
But anytime
they had
a
black kit, right?
They did, that Johnny Cash kit. Yeah.
Oh, right, Johnny Cash.
Which, like, you know what? If I've got one problem with them, you can't just have a black kit, put Johnny Cash's signature on it, and be like, it's the man in black, it's Johnny Cash kit. Come on.
I don't understand. I've never been to Nashville, and I feel like I need to go to Nashville to really
great. It's a great town.
Get it? But I don't get it. Like, it feels like a weird place that doesn't make sense from afar.
It's like a shittier New Orleans, I would say.
I was about to say, it's like Austin and New Orleans had a baby.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's like one main drag that's just bachelorette parties, and it's very fun. Like, you're going to like country western bars, but it's just like there's people on those bikes that you're drinking while riding a bike thing. You know, like, that's the vibe of Nashville. But it is a fun city. You know what I'm talking about? The drinking bikes?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Vince?
I do.
There's like
I definitely do.
There's like, it's like a bar, and then everyone is pedaling.
You're pedaling while drinking.
Yeah.
And it's usually like
it's like 15 people pedaling a big thing around. You've never
seen
that,
usually facing
Darren?
Each other, and there's somebody at the front kind of steering.
We're going to get Darren on one of these bicycles, and we're going to get him to smoke cigarettes.
I know, geez.
And we're going to get you to do a bump of cocaine on camera. Those are the...
Jesus.
Those are the storylines for this week's match. When we come back, we talk to women's soccer TikToker. Casey's on the case.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
She's an LAFC fan, one of our favorite soccer TikTokers, and an expert on all things women's soccer. Please welcome to the show, at Casey's on the Case, Casey Holton. Casey, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, first, tell us about your TikTok. If people want to follow you, what should they expect?
You know, a little bit of a mostly chaos. It's, I think, mostly women's soccer. Some hot takes, some just random musings. You can always unlock a random musing by asking me something like kind of philosophical about the game. So that's fun. A lot of aggressive Arsenal fandom. Katie McCabe bias is very strong. And then occasional LAFC pop in, like today when it's been rumored we're getting Olivier Giroud, which I've been dreaming of now since 2017.
Mm-hmm. I think we've all been dreaming of him being in our
side. Like, how do you not, right?
We talked a lot about his body during the storylines. Just don't worry about it. So before we move on, introduce us to the three dogs on camera with you.
Yes. So I have Root Beer here. He's a permanent resident. I have Dumpling, who's a foster. And then Gustav off to the side here is the longest resident. So that's, if you hear anything weird in the background, it's that, or the fact that I can't figure out how to turn my notifications off on my laptop, which sucks.
And if anyone wants a foster pup, a sweet little puppy, we got one for you. He's a pug. All right. So first of all, NWSL came back last week. What do we need to know about that? Like, I don't know. I'm speaking for myself here. I've been to Angel City games. I like Angel City, but I don't follow it as closely as I should. I think because I spend so much time doing this podcast, I don't want to watch any more soccer. So if I want to get into NWSL this year, what are the storylines we need to know going into this season?
So I think the single biggest thing happening, especially in the first half of the year, is the tie-in with Olympic roster spots for U.S. Women's National Team. That Olympic roster is only going to have 18 spots on it. So that's tiny, like tiny, tiny, tiny. Looking at especially the forwards, who's going to get a spot is really interesting. So keeping up with how's Alex Morgan doing at San Diego, how's Sophia Smith doing at Portland Forwards, how's Mel Swanson doing coming back from injury in Chicago, those are kind of some of the bigger picture things that I think folks are really talking about and interested in. It's not just limited to the forwards, it's also in the midfield, it's also in the back line, but I think the forwards, just given Sophia Smith, Mel Swanson, and Alex Morgan all being pretty well-known names, is kind of a thing people are talking about a lot.
And who are the biggest clubs in the league? Like, who's expected to win?
The odds favorites right now, I believe, are San Diego Wave, rightfully so. They're very good. They won the Supporters' Shield last year. Got some good signings as well. They've got Jaden Shaw, who's another really exciting talent with U.S. Women's National Team, and she's playing really great. They have Naomi Gurma, who is the starting center back for U.S. Women's National Team and is just one of the best center backs in the world right now in the women's game. So they're definitely favored. Gotham, the other big team a lot of folks are talking about because of all of their offseason signings. I'm not as high on them for the full season. It'll be interesting to watch just because of, you know, the fact that they got Crystal Dunn, Rose Lavelle, Emily Sonnet, Tierna Davidson. But I personally am excited to see what happens in Orlando because they are pretty much the Brazilian national team.
That's fun. I heard a lot of people talking about Gotham, but I didn't know why, so that's interesting. Do you guys have any questions?
I would just like to go on the record and say that I'm team Rose Lavelle, and I love Rose Lavelle despite that she hasn't had the best season coming through injury and everything, but I love the way Rose Lavelle plays, and I think that segues into my question. If there's one player that, like, you have to rush home and you have to get in front of the TV because you have to watch what they do, no matter what team they play on, no matter what the score is, like, who's the player that you're picking that's, like, the most dynamic, the most fun to watch in NWSL this year?
It's probably Sophia Smith, just based on what she's done in the league. If you hear this is a Sophia Smith goal, you want to go see what it was. Then the other thing I always want to watch is if Lobonta for Kansas City scores, that celly is going to be legendary. Every single celly she does, it goes viral. It's everywhere. So you got to see those two. But in terms of the goals, if I find out she scored a goal or find out something happened, it's Sophia Smith on Portland Thorns. And then in a different category of like things I have to check out, just in like kind of shithousing stuff, I love Morgan Weaver on Portland Thorns. Like, she really brings a fun energy to it. She'll go celebrate in front of the away section, like just egging them on. She's great. So very, very fun personality. It's like the thing about NWSL that I don't think people understand if you don't watch it is it's really like somewhere in the family tree of like Pac-12 After Dark. It is chaotic, and there's, you know, you never know what to expect. You can have people come back from four goals. You can have just these like very weird, like deeply intense, kind of stupid moments. You can have, you know, we had a coach get a red card while sitting on a, you know, water cooler last season. It's like a whole very bizarre thing. So if something weird can happen, it will. It's not quite CONCACAF. Like, I think it's like maybe a second cousin of CONCACAF in that way, but very like familial Pac-12 after dark. If that was something you ever indulged in.
For sure. What else NWSL should we know for this year?
Yeah, so the other big thing that I think is really interesting and exciting for NWSL is the U18 entry. So the U18 roster spots started becoming a thing a couple of years ago after Olivia Moultrie sued for the right to play within the NWSL. And court said, yeah, you actually have to let this 15-year-old into the league if a team is willing to sign her, which Portland Thorns were. So the league has now built that out and created a formal mechanism of entry, has now also limited the number of under 18s you're allowed to sign so that you don't hoard children. And
always a good rule.
Yeah, you know, you can only have four. But once they age out, you can get new ones. So that's kind of what the league.
Is this like a Leonardo DiCaprio rule or what's going on here?
No, they call it the Leo rule.
Very similar vibe, you know. I'm curious to see how this plays out because I get it, since you're not limited to like, you can have people on your under 18 mechanism who you have signed to a contract but aren't on a roster spot. So I think it is literally to prevent you from hoarding children. But, you know, in practice, it's like, are you trying to prevent child labor? I don't really know. I'm sorry. This is probably not what you expected from me.
This is exactly what we want in a podcast. So
yeah, this is perfect.
I mean, if you don't want people hoarding children, don't check Vince's basement. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, come on.
Jeez.
There's those basements in Long Beach.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, but the kids are good. That's the thing, is that the kids are good at the labor, it turns out. So they're doing a good job within the league. We've seen some good success already. Over the weekend, Alex Pfeiffer, 16, scored her first goal for Kansas City Current. Jaden Shaw obviously was playing as an under 18 and is now starting, and I think one of the key players for the U.S. Women's National Team going to the Olympics. Olivia Moultrie herself, litigious queen that she is, now also starts and is integral to Portland Thorns. We've got, like, pretty much every team now has at least three teams, and it's exciting and fun to watch because it's been one of my kind of big gripes about, especially on the women's end, the fact that there's no fair for the children.
Not enough teens?
not enough teens.
I think it felt like you were approaching a kind of a hot take earlier about Gotham. I want to know why you're not so hot on them.
I just think that historically what we've seen in this league is that when we have a team that anyone is like too high on for the big name signings, everything goes wrong. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Like last year, everybody thought Kansas City Current was going to run away with it. Everybody thought it was like unfair because they had Dabinia, they had Sam Uys, they had just a wealth of talent. Like it felt like you needed to break up this super team. And then it just all went to shit. Completely sideways, fell apart, and they were pretty much, I mean, not, they ended up at second to last, I think, or they might have ended up in last thoughts. I think second to last to Red Stars, technically. But, I mean, they were in the bottom there, and even though it's a close league where, like, even second to last had a chance at making the playoffs on decision day, it was still not what anybody expected, which was that it was just going to be, you know, somebody running away with it. So that's part of why I'm not super high on them. I'm also really curious how a lot of these players are going to work together in the midfield that they've brought in. I don't think you can keep them all on the pitch at the same time. And unfortunately, I love Rose Lavelle. I get the hype. She's so fun to watch play. But girlfriend's made of glass. And I don't I don't like her odds of staying healthy. I just don't.
Now, I think last year there was some NWSL drama that broke through to the mainstream media a little bit. Are there any other players having affairs with celebrities that we need to know about?
Not that I've heard yet. But, you know, that's kind of a late in season thing. You never know. I'll just look and see what celebrities seem to be hanging around there with any other beloved couples in the league. So, you know, because whatever the most chaotic outcome is will be the one that we get. But thus far, no affairs that I know of. I'm trying to think if there's any like good, like fun goss right now. But none of it's coming to me. I'm sure there will be some.
What's like a quick primer for ACFC specifically for LAFC fans that want to go to more games?
Are they going to finally be good?
They should be. So Becky Tweed, who's now the coach, she was interim forever. And when she was interim last season, undefeated. So things should have been really good. I really think that this weekend when we lost to Bay FC, I think some of it was unlucky. Some of it was, I think, just working the new players in that we need. Messiah Bright, like if you are not familiar with her and what she did in Orlando, like get familiar. She's a star. Like she is just going to be, when she starts actually starting, she'll be a stud. I love Sydney LaRue. She was not effective for me on Sunday, which I hate saying because I adore her. But she, you know, I think probably once we get Bright starting over LaRue or working different things in, that'll be really interesting. Speaking of teens, because you know I need to go back and talk about more of the teens. Lots of teens on ACFC, including Casey Fair, who plays for the South Korean national team and has been likened to a teenage female Zlatan Ibrahimovic. So she's going to be somebody really exciting to watch once she gets out there. I think that hype is real. More teens, Giselle Thompson, younger sister of Alyssa Thompson. She's now 18 though, so she doesn't count to her four. And then Alyssa Thompson, who I think most people are familiar with at 19. But the kids are going to be very good. We don't have a ton of people in their mid-20s. It's like only teens or people in their like mid-30s. So it does look a bit Hollywood nightclub-ish. I don't know. It's going to be fun.
Well, Casey, thank you so much for being here and walking us through this. Remind everyone where they could find your teen content again.
Casey's on the Case Teams.
Don't
go to that one. Nobody report my account, please. I have enough issues getting reported on copyright stuff, and then the lawyer and me gets very upset. But I am at Casey's on the Case on TikTok and pretty much on any other form of social media, but it's mainly TikTok where you'll find me for soccer stuff.
And if you need a dog, a foster dog, or a lawyer, you can call her, right?
Yes, exactly. I'm like, don't blame your knees, go home. Aww. Look at the tongue. Look at the tongue.
Oh my goodness.
That is a cute dog.
I'm considering it. Thanks so much for being here, Casey. When we come back, we're going to make some bets.
And we're back. Now it's time for a segment called Bet It and Forget It.
Bet It and Forget It.
Every week, we end the show with a bet for this week's game. We make an outlandish prediction, something that almost definitely will not happen, but could. Each week, Travis and I put up $5, and if no one hits, the money rolls over to the next week. Eventually, by the time someone's weird prediction comes true, they might win a good chunk of change. None of our bets cashed last week, so our bet pool for this week is $50.
It's getting up there.
What were our bets last week?
I said Team Security Paul would tackle someone on camera.
Mm. Yeah, all of his tackling was off camera, once again.
I don't even remember mine. I know is that at this point, just predicting an LAFC goal, not even the goal score, would be a pretty good, I mean, maybe a good bet in terms of you get pretty good odds.
Vince, this isn't
Do you know how you view things? It's like they're due or what?
Yeah. Yeah. It is like, it's funny. The stakes of betting right now are weird because it's like, I just want them to like do fun stuff. I want it to be fun to watch. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
what's a bet? LAFC wins.
LAFC wins.
I'll start and I'm going to go out on a limb. My bet will be that Kike Oliveira has an assist.
Ooh, really? Simultaneously, really tough.
What a sad bet. Yeah. That makes me so sad.
There was a moment, I think, last game where Kike Oliveira had Bowanga wide open and took the shot. And I wasn't too happy with him in that moment.
He had a few really measly crosses that were very sad.
Yeah. I mean, I think he really wants to, he wants to get it in the back of the net, but at this point we need anyone to do it. So pass the fucking ball when you got the opportunity. That's a sad, I mean, this is, mine now is going to sound crazy. I was going to say Denny Bowanga hat trick.
Whoa.
So I'm going to say he's back, baby. He heard what we said about him no longer being the hottest LAFC player. Mm. And he's going to prove us wrong by scoring a hat trick.
That is something to defend. That is the kind of thing that might trigger, you might trigger a bender.
Yes. Yeah. He's taking his goal sobriety seriously, but this week we're falling off the wagon.
Yeah. All right. Mine's a little more boring. But I think I've pinpointed how unlikely it needs to be. And it will be LAFC will score 2 goals off corner kicks.
Whoa. Yours, that's like, I guess that's cool.
Oh, no, I was not commenting on how cool it is.
The corner kick delivery, like in against Seattle, I mean, the snow game doesn't count. Against SKC, very good. But then seriously dropped off. Against Minnesota. Like, the corners were not good. And how many more times are they going to, like, decide to take a short corner when no one's actually ready for it? Like, what is up with that?
The short corner thing...
They don't know what they're doing.
It shows a lack of confidence to me. It's like, well, we just kind of want to pass the ball around a little bit more. Like, it never is, like, a set play either. They're just, like, kind of trying something.
Yeah, like, get a signal, though. Because the guy that they pass it to at the corner of the box is always like, oh, me? And then it just falls apart.
I would say that I get that vibe.
Haven't gotten to that yet.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The oh me vibe, I would say I get anytime any player gets the ball so far this season. It's like, you want to give it to me? You sure? All right. I'll try something. You want me to pass it back to you?
It didn't go well last time, but
that is like, it's, I just want to see a good string of passes. We had that one against Sporting Kansas City. And that's, yeah, really there's nice. Been like, 2 fun moments. I guess the first game just feels like a different season at this point. You know, like
that's, I can't wrap my head around that. Like, they felt the identity was there in the first game. Like, that felt very much like them. It was not just like a fluke. It was them winning the way that we're used to seeing them win.
I said this at
the time.
Like,
all right, we're back.
I think mentally, as someone who loves mental health, I like the snow game would fuck with me. Like, we went to a town of a team we should beat, and then we lost in an embarrassing way in a game that everyone watched, and then we complained about it afterwards and everyone made fun of us for it. Like, there is a level of like, we should have just fucking eaten shit and been like, yeah, we sucked, we should have played better. And the act of blaming other people maybe hid some of the lack of trying after the first 10 minutes in that game. But I don't know. I'm just looking for any reason to complain at this point. If we win this weekend, all the bad vibes go away. Really, I feel like if we get one win under our belt, we'll feel better.
Yeah, I mean, we will ride whatever wave comes. And that will be a wave of light or darkness.
See, I'm sick. I want them to win, but I want it to be like super fluky so people can still be like, it's not good. It's not good, man. And I can just sit there and be like, what they won. Get over
it. You like pain is what I'm learning. You rewatch the game and you want the game to happen in such a way that people will be mad at you afterwards. You're a sicko is what I'm
We're all sickos.
Yeah, we're all sickos. Well, that's our show. We shall see. Our theme music is done by the insane team of James Valentine, Nate Walcott, and Louis Palmer. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel where all episodes and clips are available in video form at youtube.com/@happyfootsadfoot. And please review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify 5 stars. It goes a long way to getting us new listeners. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Threads, I guess, still. And if you made it this far into the episode, chances are you're enjoying the show. And if that's true and you want to show your support, please consider becoming a friend of the foot at $5 a month at patreon.com/happyfootsadfoot. We had a giveaway last week. We gave away an authentic jersey last week, and it got mail. I think it got delivered today. That's how fast it turned around. He guessed the Chris Thrash of San Bernardino guessed the, or was it Santa Barbara? Santa Barbara guessed the proper score of the game, which honestly was an insult that he picked 2-0 Minnesota, but he won
He won, so he's feeling good.
I intercepted the package and I sent him an authentic Minnesota jersey because clearly that's what he wants.
I mean, we'll have more giveaways, I'm sure, this year, too. We give away tickets a lot, too, to Patreon subscribers. So consider it if you've been considering. It's only $5 a month, and it helps us each get $1 a month from you, which seems, which is great. You can also pick up some Halfo Sappho inspired merch at happyfootsadfootpod.com. Any support really goes a long way to keeping the show going and the community growing. Thanks again, and we'll see you at BMO, baby. I love you. Bye.
See you at BMO. I love you. Bye.
Vince, do you want us to say, Vince, we fucking hate you.
I'm going to wait.
Vince loves you, too.
I'm going to wait for
Olivier. He doesn't want to say it, but Vince loves
Olivier.
You, too.
No, I'll say it when Olivier gets here.
Oh, yeah. I love you, Olivier. I love you, Olivier. I realized today he looks like that Chad alpha meme of the guy with the big chin. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, like the AI man. That's what he looks like.
That's funny.
He has a smug smile where he's just like, I'm so much better than you. And you're like, it's hard to argue, but stop.
Is he if he comes here, will he be the hottest athlete in Los Angeles? Who's a hotter athlete in the city of Los Angeles? I mean, like, who's on the Lakers that could be hotter? I mean, Otani is hot, but it's like a different, it's like cute, you know? Like, he's sweet. Right? But he's got... if you're listening, if you've made it this far, and there's a hotter...
We're still recording?
Yeah, we're still recording. And if there's a hotter LA athlete let us know in the Patreon discussion thread who the hottest LA athlete is. Okay, that's the end of our show. I forgot to press stop. Bye!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.